us. The Lord is here and He is restoring hearts, restoring bodies. He's saying, connect with me. Focus on me. Focus on my eyes. Focus on my eyes. You are amazing, oh God. As your fire increases, Lord, we receive. We choose to receive. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Knock us out with your love, Lord. Overtake us and overwhelm us, oh God. Let this be a wildfire that can never stop. A wildfire that knocks out sickness and disease. Knocks out problems and discouragement. Knocks out rebellion. Knocks out anything that doesn't match up with the kingdom. Oh God, let it be. Let's sing to our Maker, our Lord, our King. Physical body, but also in this region, there has been a big maybe scare or fear for some anyway about getting the flu and getting a virus with all the things that you can read in the newspaper or go online. And if you agree with that, it's not a good thing. Although the reality is, the truth is, the facts are, I should say, that many people are getting sick and many are going into the hospital. And there is the flu. There is a big virus. So, oh well, if we're going to ascribe unto the Lord the glory and honor due His name, then we need to stand as a corporate body, first for ourselves, for our families, but also corporately, and for this county. Who wants to agree with that? Who wants to take a stand? Do we have to accept the things in the world? Do we have to say, yes, that's my portion because that's what's going on? We can rise up a holy, righteous standard and say, excuse me, not on my watch. That doesn't negate the fact that people get sick. What it does is it lets the enemy know, you know what, this place is different in that we're going to stand and say, no, we're not going to accept this as we perhaps cough and battle through some things. So this is not a turning our heads away from the fact that other people are getting sick or maybe we've had a taste of it. I've struggled this week myself. So we're not saying that. But we're saying that who we are is different than who the enemy thinks we are. And so what we want to do is let him know, but more importantly, let the Lord know that we ascribe personally unto you glory, honor, do your name because you took stripes on your back for me. Died a horrible death and be raised from the dead for me. How many of us have seen healings and miracles in our lives? Turn around and look at the hands. If you've seen healings and miracles, you've experienced them. Turn around and see. Put your hand up. Okay, God says, so why is this different? Seems to be worse. So if we declare in our hearts, not on my watch, we're not denying the things that are around us, what we're doing is just raising the bar in the spirit. And if we can win in the spirit and bring heaven to earth, because we've already won, really, but we can partner with that. God does amazing things. So what we're going to do is give you an opportunity, if you're a believer, to receive communion. Just put it up here now. You can receive communion today as we stand for health, healing, and wholeness, as then we'll transition into the message in just a moment here. But we're going to, when we sing this song, that what my heart was hearing is that we, and I'm famous for changing words, Mike knows that, and you did a great job with declaring the personal side of the Lord. But let's think about what we're singing, because when we say, I ascribe unto you, Lord, the glory due your name, every place that it says he is you. Every place that says we will, how about I am going to ascribe unto you who you are, because you are great and you are mighty, you are powerful. This is an amazing declaration of the goodness of God and his power and his majesty. It's just simply supernatural. So if we want to walk in that supernatural, we're going to believe today that God is continuing, and He's already touched a lot of bodies. How many are physically even feeling stronger throughout worship? Can I see your hands in past you? Praise the Lord. I believe He wants to increase that. And He wants us to take the authority that He's given us. And again, that's not being weird. That's not denying what is around us. That's just saying, I've got something to add to this. Excuse me. So, Father, we just raise the standard today as we will sing this together, Lord, and take communion. If we are believers and we understand what it means to share in the body and blood of Jesus, then we can take communion with you, Lord. And, Lord, if we have aught or offense in our heart against anyone, that we would lay that down right now and ask for a sweep and a wave of forgiving power through us right now before we would take the elements. We thank you, Lord, that this has never been a religious act in this house. This is an opportunity to continue our experiential connection with you. So we thank you, Lord, that your body was broken on the cross for us. You shed your blood for us. You are our restoring God, that we have been enabled to come into relationship with you, Papa, as a result of your great love, sending love who came down to take our place and become sin and to be raised up to new life so we can have new life. Lord, what a privilege that is. So as we celebrate that in communion, we receive our healing and for the healing of others in our region, in our families, in this body, people who aren't here today. We raise up a mighty no to the flu virus that's been released over this United States of America. And we say no more. And we declare an end in the 47 states that have been plagued, and particularly in Ohio. That we would be the lead dog. The numbers would start changing. That the media wouldn't even understand why.
Something we say, we declare it over ourselves. We need your love. We need your glory. We need your grace. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for breaking your body, letting your body be broken, offering your body to be broken, and spilling your blood for each of us, for us, for us, for us. For us, bless your name, Lord. We honor your name, Lord. We know who we are and we know who you are, Lord. Thank you, Father. Kingdom kids go to the kingdom. Well, I guess you could stay here if that were the case. Go to Kingdom Land. Are you blessed today?
Yes.
Whoa. Rowdy group. That's good. Yes. Today especially. It's good that we're a rowdy group. Hey, if I pass this out, you're going to promise not to read it, even the title, until I'm ready for you. Raise your right hand. I, before the judge of heaven, somebody turn the lights on in the overflow room. I want to see these people's reactions back there. Yeah, you can't hide out. I see you. Okay. Oh, I'm with Teacher Stephanie. That'll be a rowdy group. Woo! Rowdy in the kingdom. What I meant.
Nope.
Wow. Thank you. In Jesus' name, you know what that means. No, you get blessed.
Yes, I am.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
That was a great reaction. I don't know what it was about this week, maybe the more like 10 days, it felt very combative. And when you're combative at home, you don't always act like a husband, like you should. So Friday night, I went out and I bought a card. I bought soup. And I bought some firewood.
Whoa.
So I came home and gave the card. Need more?
Josh is going to make coffee.
They'll print them up. Wow, this is good. We need more.
You always need more.
So I brought the card home and gave it to Pastor Mary Pat. It was a card of apology, if you need to know. For my combativeness. It was my out of jail card called out of the doghouse card. Brought her soup because her throat needed soup. Oh, I forgot one thing. I brought her a smoothie from Robex. Do I know my And I brought firewood because she'd been asking for the longest time to have a fire in the fireplace. And all the firewood outside was extremely wet. So I went to Bueller's and paid premium price for my faults. I paid the price even though Jesus paid the price for me. I had to pay the price to get out of the doghouse. But she was very gracious. She forgave me. Just like Jesus, she forgave all my sin. And I was less combative with her and more with the enemy. Because sometimes, you know, you're trying to battle to get to the same page in the Holy Spirit. But you really are on that page. And especially the guys need to kind of know it. You know? And so iron sharpens iron. What happened? Sparks fly sometimes. Getting to Holy Spirit's page. Some of you look like that's never happened to you. Well, you can look like that today. But I'll meet you in one of my offices and we'll just see if that's true. Iron sharpening iron. Sparks fly because rust is being knocked off. Yes?
Yeah.
Rust is being knocked off. Two metal things are being sharpened for the kingdom. Sometimes metal needs to be a little more flexible when it's being sharpened. I'm not sure where I was going there, but it sounded like a good place to start, but maybe I shouldn't. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do today in us. You're going to do something amazing. At least that's what you told me. Father, if your children are resistant, I can't do anything about that. Because you told me not to wag my finger at them, but to give them Father's love. So I will try to love them to the place that they should be, each one of them, in their own walk of destiny. We bless them today. We honor you today, and we dig in today, not knowing where this will all go, but believing you're going to take us to a new place, new place, new song, new covenant, new commitment, new joy, new in a new year. We thank you, God, that you're all about the new and you're all about the full. I've already spoken on the full. This is about the new. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. If you think they speak in code, it's not really true. I'm not speaking in code. So if some of you are a little confused, you shouldn't be. Because it's words of life. Remember, the last time I spoke, I told you that someone had prophesied over me and told me that I'd be giving out words of life, words of life. And it confirmed others that had prophesied over me that I'd be giving out words of life, words of life. And I told you, that's exciting when you're not sure that you have any of that to give out. But you know that he can produce that deep well within you and you can be used in that way. And someone says that over you. Who's really saying that over me? The Father. Wow. So the things he says to you, treasure. And we're a prophetic bunch around here. Sometimes we're so prophetic, we're forgetful of all the many, many good things that have been said over our lives. We're forgetful in the very moment we need them the most. When life isn't so smiley and shiny. When there are difficulties and challenges, that's when we need to grab onto those things spoken over our life and from the Word of God, grab onto what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us and hug it to death. Well, not death, life. Hug it to life. Those are the moments you need those words. I mean, if you've already got 10 words and somebody piles on 5 more, you go, oh, thanks. But I'm full, in need of nothing. You better not be. Because you're going to need those. The Father doesn't give us words that we're not going to need. Frivolous words. I don't know why I'm talking about this. That's not my message. But he doesn't, does he? When he speaks life, he speaks life. And he wants us to hug it to life. Hang on to it. Because those challenges will come. Knocking at your door. And you better be ready. Better be darn good in it. Some of those are a little delayed. But that's okay. All right, you can look at this now. I won't ask who cheated. I just won't. Are you a rebel?
Yeah.
Good answer. Okay, I can quit. In order to establish the kingdom of God, you have to be violently overthrowing by the Spirit what the world, the flesh, and the devil has established. You should say amen right there. The world system, including an entrenched religious system, all idols that appeal to the flesh, including pursuits that comfort the flesh, thoughts that appeal to pride, and a fostering of an independent spirit within yourself, and the lies, deception, and vicious evil that bombard your life from the evil one. These are the invading armies, the imperialist regimes, and the colonizing powers that you must rebel against. When enough rebels band together, it will become a revolution. That's a powerful statement. Sorry, I messed it up. When enough rebels band together, it will become a revolution. When the revolution is successful, the kingdom of God is established on the earth. Again, you should say, amen. Amen. Our commander Jesus was the perfect rebel who, by the power of the Spirit, brought an unsettling, challenging presence wherever he walked. He was the supernatural, always superseding the natural. He was the goodness of God, destroying the works of man. Whether he was among the Pharisees, the Sadducees, scribes, lawyers, multitudes, Jews, Samaritans, Romans, or individuals, he was the earthquake that shook the foundations of fortified earthly kingdoms built on sand at their core. He battled to establish the kingdom of God with spiritual weapons of loving warfare accompanied by extraordinary miracles, signs, and wonders. Celebrate and give honor to the ultimate rebel, Jesus. And note to self, we are to be just like our rebellious commander, Jesus. So, interactive. Tell me what you think about this statement. Say it again.
It's going to require a lot of humility.
A lot of humility. Very true. Some of you are professional rebels. Or at least you have been. Rebels against parents. Rebels against school authorities. I was a teacher once. I can tell from a distance some of you were. I don't even have to be close. Rebels against government. You say, not me. Okay. How you doing on the traffic laws? Enough said. Some of you had that stirring up inside of you, kind of like to rebel against. In fact, I get, you know, it's kind of apologies after someone realizes they're being very rebellious, or Pastor Mary Pat does, or somebody else. Rebelling against FMI, Frontline Ministries International. They're always on my case. They're always in my stuff. They have this schedule no one can keep up with. Who are those people anyway? It's you. So some of us are very good at rebelling. Today, I'm going to give you permission to be righteously rebellious. And there are so many ways that you can follow Jesus in this. It'll be easy for you because you're naturally rebellious. Just get it flowing in the right direction. Flowing in the right chute. And it'll be effective for the kingdom. Jesus, as the rebel, he wasn't always meek and mild. Often he was rebellious and wild. He wasn't always balanced. He was unbalanced. Much of the church today is trying to get balanced Christians. Much of what God wants to do in your heart is unbalanced. So we have a whole lot of people meeting this morning in various places that are trying to get some balance. And here, we know you're all unbalanced. Jesus the rebel, he wanted a violent overthrow in the spirit, an insurrection to establish true freedom of the spirit. Seemed like he was always eating, drinking, and healing the wrong things at the wrong time. He seemed to choose the Sabbath to break rules on purpose. He seemed to choose to bless the poor rather than trying to gain favor with religious leaders. He saved thieves and said the unbelieving and false teachers were tares and goats destined to be separated on judgment day. He said the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, while perfectly healthy people were told they were blind, deaf, and lame. He claimed that he was in touch with God in such an intimate way that he called him Father, while claiming he was divine as well. He told political leaders that they had no control over his destiny. He called the admired religious leaders hypocrites and whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones. He hung out on the wrong side of the tracks with tax collectors, unschooled fishermen, lepers, and above all, women, especially ones of ill repute. He turned over tables outside the temple, calling the longtime commercial practice a den of thieves. And on and on and on. Jesus came in as a real rebel. Why the shakeup? Why not just fit in? They were looking for the Messiah. Why not just fit in and say, I'm who you're looking for. Let me prove it from the Old Testament. And instead he demonstrated who they were looking for and they rejected him. They might have taken a reasoned argument a little better than to see him actually do the works of his Father on the face of the earth. He didn't take the easy route. He went upstream against the current. He didn't take the easy route. He did the hard thing. Almost every time he did the hardest thing. What's so hard about not healing on the Sabbath? You have 6 other days. Why do you have to heal on the Sabbath and, get right under their skin? Because he's Jesus. He's a rebel. He's trying to shake things up. He likes new. He likes new things. In the New Testament, new teaching with authority, new commandment, new name, new Jerusalem, new heavens, new earth, new self, new creation, new man, new covenant, new tongues, new creature, new things. And let us not forget Old and New Testament, a new song. Interesting, the books that the new song is in. Psalms, Isaiah, and Revelation. Maybe I'll do that message right now. That'd be fun. A new song. Jesus was even laid in a new tomb. No old wineskin for him to lay in. Laid in a new one. We've already spoken about old and new wineskins here several times, but it's one of my favorite subjects because it says so much about what we're accepting and what we should be rebelling against. What we should be going against the grain. Because if you have new wine and new wineskins, everything's cool in the kingdom. If you have new wine and old wineskins, the old wineskins break. That's why some of you have run into some opposition in some places. Because you've had a taste of the new wine in the kingdom, and it's not accepted everywhere. I don't know if you've noticed. Even telling, you know, loved ones, something new is happening in my life. I can't tell you about it too much other than I went down on the floor in the spirit. You what? Did I say something wrong? The power of God isn't big enough, strong enough to knock a person down? God wouldn't do that. Really? Well, he did it to me. Several times. And he kept me there. And he spoke love into me and acceptance and joy and peace. I really didn't feel like a flake when it was happening. I felt close to God. That's not going to be accepted everywhere. I'll tell you that right now. And if you start saying you saw a healing, you had a healing, you too much, you're going to run into problems. But isn't that a good thing? It sure is. Giving a testimony about it? Even better. Why then isn't it accepted in so many places? Because we're rebels. I'm here to tell you today, you are rebels like Jesus. If you believe in these things, deliverance of demonic oppression, possession, demonization. I want to follow Jesus. One third of him at least. I'll go to the ends of the earth and tell them about salvation. Will you tell them about his healing power? I'm still considering that from the Word of God. I don't really know whether I want to do that or not. What about that he delivers people today from demonic works? You know, I'm going to do a study on that. I plan to, and I'm going to talk to my pastor, actually. Come on now. We talking truth here? It's the way it is. Because you're a rebel. You accept some of this stuff, at least some of you. The new ones are saying, what the world have I gotten myself into? Should I shake my head or shake my head? It's okay. I'm used to it. And so are you. You've come up against the new religious system, the new Pharisees. Come on. And it's not that we don't spend time with many people, and if they know Jesus, we're in unity over Jesus. But let's be clear, Jesus is a bit bigger than some are allowing him to be. That's what we're celebrating. You think we're just dancing around here and having the kids run around for nothing? We're in celebration. Jesus is bigger than what most people think. And even when we think he's bigger than that. Awesome to live in this day when at least that thought has come through. Ever heard of the Dark Ages? They were dark for a reason. And they continued past the Dark Ages time. 5th century to the 15th century. Something like that. 16th century, I guess. They, you know, there was still dark stuff going on. There's a dark cloud over much of the church today. Why? They don't want to be rebels like Jesus. They don't want to let too much Jesus get in, because then you're labeled. Let's stand up for Jesus. Not just for his saving power, which he does. Some of you have been saved within the past year. Some of you have known him longer. I'm saying let him be released even more. Let each of us do that. I want to do more of that. Let him be the real Jesus, the rebel Jesus. The one that comes in on the Sabbath and says, watch this. And heals in front of these guys that were, no, no, don't do it. And he pointed out the hypocrisy inside of their lives. Now, doesn't mean that we come across as Jesus could come across in so many circles. We have to be a little kinder, gentler. Because he was Jesus. But we can represent him and be forthright. When we correct someone, it's supposed to be with gentleness, kindness, love. So, you know, if you thought I was going to breathe fire on you today, it's more that the fire will come from within. And you will see that you are a rebel and you have a position in the kingdom that you should celebrate because of Jesus. So, does old wine and new wineskins work? We said new wine and new wineskins works. New wine and old wineskins doesn't work. Does old wine and new wineskins work? No. Just give you a tip. No. The only one that works, new wineskins, new wine. So we have to expand. We have to grow. We have to accept things that our mind says no, no, in order to receive the absolute fruit of the new wine. There are going to be things in us that are from our past, even from our past hurts, that say, this can't be God. This can't be right. And it will be. It'll be God. That's a good thing. We have to allow new wine to come in. New. And wash out that old stuff. Get it out of there. And have a big enough container. A flexible enough container to hold it properly. And that's got to expand beyond that. Case in point, do you know that much of the body of Christ has a doctrine that's set, fully set, and they take such joy in that? This will never change. Okay, truth never changes, but your doctrine can, because that's just what you believe about truth. Come on, are we listening this morning? Your doctrine has to change. Woo-hoo. Otherwise, you stay an old wineskin. With me? And I know that that can't be to some people. I understand that. Because you've heard it so much. Our doctrine doesn't change. We have it written in our manual. And our manual is in our trunk. And our trunk is placed on the stage so it will never change. And it's locked. So nobody can get in there and change anything. Doctrine was meant to change. Truth was not meant to change. Hello?
It's true.
It's true. And we have people with manuals that stay the same because they're afraid to change them. No new revelation. It's all in the Word of God. Maybe the Holy Spirit will give you a little something once in a while, but, you know, got to be careful about that. And then you read in Joel 2 and Acts 2. Whoa, there's going to be all this form of communication that's going to come to the church in abundance near the end of the age. Let's just say we're there because it's coming. It's here. It's happening. People smelling things. Come on. And getting blessed by it. Who knew? Why wouldn't he want to communicate with us? Much of the body of Christ think he's lost his voice. God somehow lost his voice. Right after he wrote the Bible, he couldn't talk anymore. He got laryngitis. He got the Bible out to everybody, and he never spoke to anybody after that, other than some of those weird people that think they hear him all the time. Okay, so what do we need to rebel against? If this is all supposed to be new, and the weapons of our warfare are not in the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, what are some of those fortresses? What are we supposed to be rebelling against? Are you really ready? Because this is going to clip along. Here it comes. We need to rebel against religion, Pharisaism, by having a life in the Spirit, freedom to live out grace. We need to rebel against male-dominated roles in the church, women as second-class citizens in the body of Christ. Whoa. That's true, though. Galatians says, now there's neither male nor female. Just that one little phrase frees up more than half of the body of Christ, numbers-wise, more than half of the body of Christ to be ministering at maximum for the Lord. Don't we need that to reach the nations? We do. That's why here it's Pastor Mary Pat, Pastor Bill, and it's not Pastor Bill and, oh yeah, Pastor Mary Pat. You've been in some places like that? Sure you have. There's Pastor Bill, the male. Da, 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 da. The one in shining armor. The leader that has all the answers. Just ask me. On the horse, the steed. And then there's Maid Marian. I have to help her up on the horse. Come on now. But she's in leadership with me. Kind of. Come on. Come on, let's be honest. That's not what God intended. Come on. If any of you gals really feel like second-class citizens, that's a tragedy. Because I think we've made you feel that way. Our interpretation of the Word of God, the roles in the Word of God, we've interpreted that we're in charge. Oh, man. You, honestly, as women, can respect your husband as a leader in your family. Not a problem. The key word is, can you respect him as the leader in your family? If you do, you're going to submit to some stuff. You know? But it doesn't mean you're never going to have an idea. Or it should never be expressed. Come on. Or that you aren't a strong leader. I think I've told you before, but maybe not. Maybe I only told a smaller group. So I could get in trouble with a lot of people today. Every year, in December, we have an election for leaders. And we think we're such good leaders, we go ahead and re-elect ourselves without ever asking you. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. But there's an annual meeting. You can ask a question. Right after this meeting, there's an annual meeting. You can ask a question. We usually say, yeah, I'll take that responsibility again. And we're around the leadership very happy because we don't want a smaller leadership of people running from the leadership. We don't want, you know, it to be inflexible as well. We've added leaders over the years, and there's no set group, set number, anything like that. Whatever God determines, that's fine with us. But one of the things that I do every year is I offer Pastor Mary Pat to be president of FMI. That's a little secret. Don't tell too many people. You say, you know, I'm president. Honestly, why don't you be president this year? And she says no. Every year she says no. It's a sincere invitation from my heart. Please get that. It's not that I now know she'll say no, so I go ahead and offer. And then... Ha-ha! Reverse psychology! Gotcha! Again, another year. But it's an honest, and I sometimes discuss it with her before the meeting. You know, I'm going to offer you that position. I just would say, go ahead, take it. You know, show people that really this is really equal. We're trying to be equal with one another as pastors. No. So I think what I've gleaned from her heart is, and this is something only the Lord could do, she actually trusts me, respects me, to lead FMI as the president, you know, of, doesn't mean you're leading it just because you're the president, by the way, but you're leading the leaders as president. Actually, it just means I run the meetings. But she respects me. Do you know what that does for me? I want to be a rebel. I want to be crazy. Because I know if she led FMI, it'd be crazy. And I want it to be crazy. I want to go to all these nations. I want to tell people about Jesus everywhere. I want us on the streets of Maslin and Canton. I want us reaching out to our families in a significant way and seeing change under the household. Salvation under the household. Healing under the household. Deliverance under the household. All of that. So that spurs me on. Her trust in me leading has made me more and more and more of a rebel like Jesus. Am I there yet? No. That's the beauty of it. I can be happy and joyful in the whole journey and lead you people to be crazy. See, if you do crazy stuff, I'll look good to my wife. And she'll vote for me again as president. Honey, I'm not looking at you because I'm not sure what your reaction would be to this. It's not out of a lack of love. I just want to go on with my message. Okay, what else do we want to rebel against? Already mentioned the one-third Jesus. We want to rebel against the one-third Jesus. Jesus the Savior, but not Jesus the Healer. Or Jesus the Deliverer. We want the full Jesus. Every aspect of him. And we believe it's fully for us. Jesus living inside of you. But I'm only going to let you act one third of yourself. Come on. Does that make sense? But much of the body of Christ believes that. You're a rebel against that. Just so you know. Just saying. Isolationism. The walls in the church are to be solid around the saints. No, you need to rebel against that. Individuals need to go to the world. Individuals and the church need to go to the world. Church individuals need to unite with the body of Christ. We need to be vulnerable with one another. Don't make walls around yourself. But you're going out to the world. You don't have walls around your church, but you have walls around yourself. You have to be vulnerable with the ones in here and let those walls be torn down just like the walls of the church need to be torn down so we can go out to the world and have an impact and out to other groups of believers, whether we disagree on some doctrinal things or not. If they believe in Jesus, we need to seek unity with them. Need to rebel against message-centered meetings. This one might seem message-centered to you because I'm doing the message right now, but it's actually presence-centered. The worship at the beginning is a huge thing of what goes on. And we're asking that his presence just continues as we share with one another. We talk with one another. I hope you have some thoughts on this. I am going to take some of those. We're rebelling against the silent God, as I mentioned, that he lost his voice. We know that's not true. He wants to communicate with us in so many different ways. Dreams, visions, pictures, words, all kinds of things. If nothing else, the book of Revelation should say something. That whole vision that John had is supposed to say, hey, how about you? You're going to be letting me speak to you like that? Now, when did John get that? In his old age. So I think he had a bit of communication before that to receive such a long, long revelation like that. He was practicing that a long time before that one happened. He was receiving communication from the Lord all the way along the way. So it should be with you. The silent God. Don't want that. We want Rhema word. And we want Logos word. Oh, here's a good one. We want to rebel against one leader at the front with all the answers. Instead, we want equipped sons and daughters with a voice in the local body while observing the example and supporting the vision of the spiritual fathers, the leaders in the house. They don't have all the answers. We as a body know the one that has all the answers, and we can kind of share back and forth what we think and what we get from him. And some of it's going to be real truth and real revelation. And some of it we're going to have to throw out. Don't be offended if some leader says, well, I'm not sure that's really from God. Don't be offended. You should welcome it. That's part of the communication. It can't all be, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's tremendous. Oh, that's great. Super duper. Woo, that's from God. Yep, that's from God. That's God. Oh, that's God, God. And not hear, oops. Think that maybe, whew, that one's a little off. We should be open to both, right? I'll say that you said right. We should rebel against accepting old paradigms, philosophical, theoretical frameworks, typical examples in the church, typical ways of doing things in Christian belief and history. You know, everybody was practicing for this age, and they had missed a lot of stuff. We shouldn't go back and go, wow, they were the great ones. You know, I don't mind studying some about revivals, but I want this one. I want to spend my time on this one, this revival. Not go back to all the other ones that fell a little bit short, didn't continue. Go back to movements in the past that fell short in so many ways, and start celebrating those? No, thank you. I went out about a year ago with a friend I hadn't seen in many, many years, had a very positive impact in my life during a major trial in my life. I went out with him. We were going to reconnect. I saw him working at a local business, and, hey, let's go out to Bob Evans and catch up. Okay. So I let him catch up first. Said I went on a mission trip. Wow, that's awesome. That's tremendous. What'd you learn? Oh, man, the poor are really out there. I was so touched by the poor. I said, man, so am I every time I go overseas. It's a major thing. The poor are there. So what'd you do when you got home? I decided that I wasn't righteous enough, and I needed to read about all the old saints that were righteous. And I need to, kind of pretty much on my own, really go after a righteousness kind of filled with a lot of works. That was what you got out of a mission trip? I didn't say it that way. I said, oh. So, well, my experience has been when I went overseas, I came back, and I needed more of the love of Jesus, more of the love of the Father. I needed freedom. I needed to see that in order to really minister to them even more effectively, I needed to receive more of the love of my Father and let him empower me, let him change me, let him forgive me. He already has. But I don't dwell on my lack. I dwell on his abundance. You know what I would say. Maybe different words than that. That's pretty summarized. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Flaky. Now, let me get this straight. I didn't say this to him. We parted on good terms, gave him a hug, paid for his meal. But let me get this straight. You want to go to the past to live toward the future. You hear me? You want to go to the past to live in power for the future. If you don't have a present, powerful Jesus revealed to you, you're not going to draw any power from the past. I'm not talking about, the Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what they did after the Bible. Okay? After the events of the Bible. They carried it into Europe and so on. But then it got calcified. It got calcium on it. They got stuck. They got stuck. And the real believers are never told about. The real ones. You know how it is. You know that there are local politics going on and there are national politics going on. What's going to be in the history books? National politics. Any politics that the kids are going to study are going to be national. But that doesn't mean that none of this stuff going around here is important. It's important to us. The same thing happened in the church down through the centuries. There were groups of real believers that weren't in all kinds of... You with me? They weren't in that. They were outside that, free, ministering, loving, not having, the council of this and the council of that. Some of those are good. Some of the stuff in those are good, but some of it isn't. And we don't hear about them. Just saying. There's some paradigms there that need to be broken, and even some thoughts about Christian history. Just because it's in the books doesn't mean that's all there was to Christian history. That was all the believers there were. They weren't all involved in that stuff. Okay? They were like you and me. Nobody knows about us. We're unnamed donkeys carrying the glory of God around the earth. Amen. And we don't need a big name. We don't put it out on the sign. Pastor William Harry Goki. That isn't why I don't put it on the sign. Thank you. Okay. We need to rebel against the real heresy and false doctrine. Things like all paths lead to God, an eternal place of punishment doesn't exist. Those are false. It's just not true. Okay, we can agree on that. But there's some other things that you're really supposed to be free when it says free. You're actually supposed to be full of joy when it says be full of joy. And you can't go around going, I'm going to be full of joy. I'm going to be full of joy. That doesn't do it. You have to actually let the Spirit work within you to be free and full of joy. You do. You can't make yourself be full of joy. You can't make yourself be free. In fact, that's an oxymoron. Make yourself be free.
Yeah.
I'm going to be free. Tired of being all locked up. Doesn't work that way. You have to either enjoy Jesus or you're not free. You either need to enjoy Jesus or there's no joy. Real joy. Now, you can smile all you want when you come to church. And you can dance up front even. And even go down in the Spirit. But if you don't really receive it from Holy Spirit, all that work in you, it's not it. You need to rebel against that. By the way, you can't even rebel without Holy Spirit properly. Oh, you can rebel. But you can't rebel properly, righteously, without Holy Spirit's power within you. Mm-mm. Not going to work. You'll be way too harsh. You know, when I'm thinking of these things and I leave out Holy Spirit, I start, you know, getting on that horse. I want to slash people up, you know. I want to really rebel. I want to be combative. And the Holy Spirit comes and goes, you know, I do this. I'm the one that changes things. Sometimes you can do more through prayer. Than by talking with someone. Especially harshly. Okay, rebel against exclusivism. Only the original apostles did miracles, healings, deliverances, signs, wonders. What we really need is all disciples empowered to do amazing works prepared by our Father to step into. We are to rebel and restore the true role of you as disciples. And that's going upstream. Just is. Much better to have a comfortable church. In the comfort zone. Than to be a rebel. Now we've made the church more comfortable for you. We took out the orange. We brought in the new chairs. We dustied up the lights. But that wasn't so you could be comfortable in the Spirit. That's so we could woo you in. And now we've got you right where we want you. You have to listen to freedom. Whoa. Okay, we need to rebel against the loss of the prophetic for the edification of the body of Christ. We need to rebel against the loss of tongues as a powerful weapon for every believer. Oh, I've heard that's controversial. It's not if you have it. When I first met Pastor Mary Pat, I knew she was a tongues talker. I could tell. She just had a happy face on all the time. All those tongues talkers did. And finally, you know, the Lord in his graciousness said, well, how do you think, you know, why do you think that is contributing to her joy? I don't know. I know I'm not supposed to have it. I don't mind if someone else has it. But the Lord didn't destine it for me. No! Until I was in my basement, and the glory of the Lord came on me. I didn't even know what the glory of the Lord was at that time. And he came upon me, and I'm like, no! No! This must be it! And guess who walked in the room? My beloved. The one who wouldn't argue with me about it. No, she just said, it's going to happen to you someday. I said, yeah, right, when I moved to Arizona. And she said, all she said was, would you like to receive here or somewhere else? I said, let's go to the bedroom, just, you know, pray over me or something. So I laid on the bed, and I'm telling you, it wasn't like 2 seconds. She puts her hand on my, heavenly language. But Lord, this wasn't supposed to be for me. But when the joy came on the inside, it's a helpful weapon, you know, when you're a rebel and you're in the battle. When you're on the army, it's an amazing, helpful weapon. I looked at it as a gift from God, not something he was trying to put on me. Wow, what a difference. It's not the end all. It's just one of the weapons in the arsenal. That's why we don't, you know, sit around talking about this all the time. It's known to be a weapon in the arsenal, but it can't be the only thing going on. We know enough people that, I believe in tongues, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you don't want to be around them. They're so baptized in the Holy Spirit, they are soaked all right, but I'm not sure it's in the new wine. And they, you know, come on, something better than that. All right, rebel against settling for the safety of the natural rather than the risk of the supernatural. Come on now. That comfort zone is real in the body of Christ, even among the prophetic. They get into a comfort zone. Well, I gave a word last week. How many times do I have to give a word to somebody? Or, wow, we saw 4 healings that came up. People testified of 4 healings. Don't do that. Man, be excited for a healing of a headache. Because to God, it's just as easy as healing of cancer. Just as easy to him. Cancer, just as easy as healing a headache. Just as easy. So we should be excited about every healing. Anytime someone testifies. And if they say it's not complete yet, let's not be satisfied. Let's keep going after it. They even mention, well, it's only about 80%. Go for it. We want to help them get 100%. Why not? Now, are we just trying to, you know, have a house of healing so we can put it on the sign? It'll never be out there, I hope. It just should be natural. It should just be what we do. Okay. Rebel against settling for God, for a God that we can put in a box. A God we can understand. Rather than a God that is intimately knowable, but often incomprehensible. You know, if you think that any of us have all the answers about God, come on. No one does. That's the good news. If we did, he'd be too small. And so the pastor that knows all the answers doesn't exist. So why are people putting on suits? And sometimes I do wear a suit. Why are people putting on suits and acting like if you asked me, you'd get your real answer? And not equipping saints to follow Holy Spirit. Have a much more powerful church. When you equip the saints to follow Holy Spirit, you get to go to the nations. You get to see people transformed overseas, downtown,
in your daily life. We get testimonies so much here about that. Never take that for granted. It's awesome. It's tremendous. And it's going to increase. I say it's going to increase.
Yeah.
It's going to. It's going to. Rebel against lack, poverty spirit, orphan spirit. Rather, we should live in the abundance of being a son or daughter. I think last year I had a message on how many times the Bible says full. And do believers really want to be full? Do we want to believe God wants us full, or does he just say full because he's trying to be nice? He really means it. He wants you to be full in every area of your life. That way you are a walking testimony of his goodness. Rebel against doubting God is absolutely good. That person that attributes much of the enemy's work to God. A lot of Christians like that. You are rebelling against that. God is always good. Always. 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 We might have questions, but he's always good. Rebelling against not trusting God with childlike faith. Rebelling against independence of spirit. But rather having dependence on Holy Spirit. Submission to godly leaders. Unity with fellow believers. Someone says to you, you know, you just seem like you're kind of moving in an independent spirit. You just kind of like to be a loner, and you kind of like to go after God yourself in your own way at your own time. And, you know, you kind of come to a few things and listen here and there, but you pick and choose. It may be true. And it may be that you have an independent spirit going on inside. You caught this declaration of independence and you think you're a country. But actually, you need dependence on other believers. You need a body that's working, all the parts working. That's what we're going for here. That you're an actual working part, not just a participant or a parishioner. You actually work. Everything in you is working spiritually. That's what we're going for. You would think that would be what everyone should go for in the body of Christ. But we've settled because we're not willing to be rebels. But we are. You are. Need to rebel against fear, feelings, and friends running your life. Are you on Facebook? In order to have other people be your friend in your most tragic times and befriend you and get more friends and friends so you feel better about rebelling against God. Not good. You should have friends that are willing to wound you for your benefit. Those are real friends. If all they do is befriend you on Facebook and say, yeah, 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 yada, 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 like. You can't tell whether those are real friends or not. The only way you can tell if they're real friends is if they actually object to something that you're doing. And they might do it less gently than what you want. Oh well. If it's truth, it's truth. So you want to rebel against fear inside, feelings and friends running your life. We're not about having people come up in here and they start going through a list of their fears. I don't know if you've ever tried that on the internet, looking up phobia. Oh, it's a blast. There are so many phobias that the enemy has given to people as a gift. You know, we have the fruit of the Spirit. He has the phobias of the Spirit. So many things that people are afraid of. Incredible. I remember being in Toronto years ago at Airport Christian Fellowship, and they said, okay, missionaries, anyone that wants to be a missionary, and go to the nations for Jesus, come down front. And they had, the front was filled, and people prayed for, and woo, 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 cool. More people going overseas. And then somebody got up, and they said, oh, we need to pray for something else. What? This is, let's just keep this going. More missionaries for the kingdom. And they said, no, we need to pray for something else. I mean, you know, I'm just a participant. Huh? We need to pray for fear of flying. They're going to have to get on a plane and go overseas. If they have a fear of flying, that's going to be a major obstacle. We need to pray that that's healed in them and they're delivered from it in Jesus' name, whatever the source. Yeah! That's right! I was glad I didn't have a fear of flying, and I thought, well, gosh, you know, all those people up there is probably, you know, maybe 5 or 6, or they're going to need that, you know. Oh, man. There was a whole group at the front. Huge group of people. Afraid of flying, wanting to be a missionary for Jesus. Is that a word picture or what? They're going to have to overcome the first thing in order to get to the mission field. And isn't that so often the case? So many of us have great intentions for following the Lord. Something inside, holding us down, holding us back. Whoa, I can't get there. I want to be all I am for Jesus. But something inside, stopping me. It's stopping me. Jesus says, I can heal that up. Fear of flying, fear of fear, whatever. I can do it. And you know that if feelings are in the front of the train, the cars behind it are due for a crash. Because basing what we do on feelings, I feel I should go to Nicaragua. It's wonderful. You kind of check that out with the Holy Spirit. You just kind of feel that today and tomorrow you won't. Many people feel good things, especially when they're in worship service. Feel good stuff. They find out, can't follow through. Need to check our feelings with the Holy Spirit. Is this of you or is this just me? It might be good things, bad things. I want to be a missionary to Nicaragua. Okay, well, you better check Holy Spirit because you want to make sure that you're successful in Nicaragua, that you're ready for Nicaragua, that Nicaragua is ready for you. We all know how powerful fear is. So, enough said. We need to accept the healing and deliverance available in the presence of Jesus, the Word of God. We need to rebel against believing the lies of the enemy. He wants to misdirect you. He wants to distract you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to make you a basket case. Are you going to let him? Or are you going to rebel with the power of the Holy Spirit against that? So many people are giving into it, flowing in that river. I feel so confused. I flow in that river a little farther downstream. I feel even more confused. And they flow in that river a little farther downstream. Then they almost take it as a badge. I feel confused. When there's healing, complete guidance, direction, favor, safety, and many counselors available for that person. The Word of God. Sometimes a pictured dream, prophetic word given to them to hug. There's no reason to stay confused. It's okay to be confused for a bit. But don't stay confused. That just leads to greater confusion. Depression. don't stay depressed. That just leads to more depression. When there's joy available to cure it, real joy, don't stay in the well, deep in the well, and not be able to climb out. So we don't think, you know, especially don't take a label. Well, I have clinical depression. You know, or some other label that sounds so right. That's the natural. A doctor gives you a prognosis. Take it into account, but don't label yourself. I have something that can never be cured. No. And we have doctors that go here. Animal and human. So we've got it covered.
That's right.
So we're not against doctors, and they know it. But you take what they say and you put it before Holy Spirit. You all know about my ankle. Going into the doctor after 2 days of prayer, broken in 3 places in the emergency room, they said, it's going to be a surgery, it's going to be a surgery. And I go, we'll see, we'll see. Rebelling, I'm rebelling. We'll just see about that. And then we got people coming over that were rebels. Boom, 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 praying over my ankle. It didn't feel any different, but I just thought I'd try it anyway. So I went, you know, like this, just to see. Wasn't ready, okay. I can wait. Went into the doctor, and you know, already told me in the emergency room, 3 broken bones. It's surgery. So I said, how about, you know, what do you think? Surgery. That's what the doctor said. Okay. Okay, I'll take it into my consideration. What? Could you take another x-ray? Sure. Because you're looking at the one from the emergency room, and we've been praying for 2 days. Sure. I'm a Christian. I went overseas on a mission trip. Good. This might be helpful. Maybe that's why we're a change to you. Takes the x-ray, comes in, sits down, thought he was going to get the same message. 3 broken bones, it's surgery. He didn't say it. He goes, you know, they are kind of lined up. Good enough for me! They're close to me lining up. Why don't we let God do it? Why don't we let God do it? I wasn't quite that enthusiastic. I was waiting for God to speak through my mouth because, you know, I'm used to thinking as doctors as knowing something, you know, up there a ways. So I had to overcome that. I had to rebel against that natural thinking and say to the guy, how about we let God heal it? He goes, I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. I'm a professional. I'm an expert. He tried to give me all his credentials. He was pointing on the wall, you know. Look at that certificate. Sip light. Where'd they come up with the screws and the plate idea? Well, you see, when the ankle heals by itself, that was a key thing he said, it has this cushion of tissue that forms around it, and the bones heal on the inside. So, of course, we do that with the plates, and we use the screws to keep them together, and, you know, screw in certain parts of the bone, you know, keep them in place and all that business. Okay? Well, if God gave you that idea, why couldn't you just do that idea without the metal? Just rebel a little bit, you know, just try it out. I was trying it out. I'm rebelling, trying it out. See what happens. And the guy goes, okay, we'll let you try it. Next 2 appointments, he prayed for my ankle. Wow. And you all know what happened as time went on. I did let him put a cast on. Didn't rebel on that. Put the cast on, and now you see me jumping around and dancing and no arthritis, which they also told me would be in there. You will have some arthritis. Look for that. I stopped looking. Okay, so what are we saying? Don't accept whoever the expert is, because just so you know, God is the expert above them. Check with him. Nothing is incurable. Nothing.
Amen.
We have lepers in India. They're waiting for their fingers to grow out. Their faith challenges my faith. It helps my faith to grow digits that have been taken away by disease. They're contending strongly for those digits to pop out. And they were the ones that prayed for me when I went over with my cast. Wow. Wow. There's good stuff going on. Okay, last one. Rebel against hypocrisy and seek purity of devotion to Jesus powered by Holy Spirit. You know, there are those that seek purity of devotion that is not powered by Holy Spirit. Many people. Many, many, many people. It's just not powered by Holy Spirit. They're just not in tune with the Spirit, receiving all the Spirit has for them. So they sit down to have their devotion. They sit down with their daily bread. They read it. They get something good out of it. I want to apply that. Then they go to apply it, and it lasts, you know, until maybe the next day. And they need a new daily bread and a new devotion. There's nothing wrong with devotions. Nothing wrong with reading my daily bread or his daily bread or whoever's daily bread it is. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're going on the idea that your obedience is going to get it done, I've tried it longer than most of you, and it didn't work. I needed every gift from the Father I could get. His love washing over me to even be obedient for 1 second. If you're that kind of child, then you're really free. Because it's going to come from him. You're going to receive it from him. It's like having a birthday party all the time. Wow, thank you, Father. Oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, wow. Hey, I'm standing against that, and I'm standing against this, and I couldn't stand against that before. Woo, God, this is great. Hey, you deserve all the glory. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. So that's why I'm not the answer man. I'm free from that. I don't have to be the answer man for you. So we have a higher person to go to. And I spend my time trying to help you all connect to that person, the Holy Spirit in your life. And so when you read the Word of God, you read it differently. You know, people read the Bible all the time. That doesn't mean anything. If you don't read it with Holy Spirit, it's a whole different book. Looks like God's mad in the Old Testament, and he's in a good mood in the New Testament. That's what it looks like. It's not what's going on. He was in a good mood the whole time. That's why we need Holy Spirit. Okay, stand please with me. We have a declaration to make, those that want to. By the way, I did mention... Oh, I did mention old and new wineskins. That's Luke 5, 36 through 39. And the weapons of our warfare is 2 Corinthians 10 through 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Okay, here's the declaration. I am a righteous rebel for Jesus.
I am a righteous rebel for Jesus.
I am called to be a rebel.
I am called to be a rebel.
I will do the hard thing and fight upstream.
I will do the hard thing and fight upstream.
I am a righteous rebel for Jesus.
I am a righteous rebel for Jesus.
I am called to be a rebel.
I am called to be a rebel.
I will do the hard thing and fight upstream.
I will do the hard thing and fight upstream.
Okay, then you might need 13 decrees for 2013. These are fresh off the press. Remember, 2012, I did read the last time I spoke the 2012 decrees and said you could still decree them for 2013. You have permission for that. But here's the new set. Increased separation unto God. I decree that in 2013, I will increase in my separation unto God and his ways as I choose him in all things. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in my love for God, for myself and for others. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in perfect peace, wholeness, and soundness in my heart and mind, in all my ways, and in every situation. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in wisdom from above, because I love wisdom and ask for wisdom. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in the grace of God, which enables me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in the strength of the Lord as I wait on Him. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in divine health and healing. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in abundance and prosperity. All my needs will be met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I decree that in 2013 I will receive increased revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, His kingdom, and His righteousness. I decree that in 2013 I will receive increased manifestation of miracle-working power. I decree that in 2013 I will receive increased answers to prayer as I pray according to His will. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in the purity of my heart, its motives, and its passions. As a result, I will perceive God in new realms and dimensions. I decree that in 2013 I will increase in boldness to proclaim the gospel, and as a result, many will turn to the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You're the one that can back these all up. We receive that from Your hand, and we walk in the joy and freedom the Holy Spirit brings while You're completing that process in each one of us. Thank You, God. We decree these things today. And we declare we're all rebels in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.